All right, do you have your Bibles? Amen. Somebody excited to hear the Word of God today? Did somebody come in ready to receive? Amen. Now, before you say amen, did somebody come ready to change? Amen. Did you come to church or did you come to change? Amen. I mean, sometimes, how many know God has this way of hugging you with one hand and giving you a nice swat with the other hand? You're like, huh? You don't know whether to be happy or it's like, oh. But ultimately, you know, in the correction of God, you feel His love. That's what I'm talking about. You feel the correction, but the correction is, you don't feel like, man, I'm bummed that Pastor, you know, convicted me or something. No, you leave happy. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to leave happy today. Listen. I say this, and I'm not saying that every Sunday, how many know every Sunday the word goes forth, and I know it's life-changing, but I want to share with you something today that I think will really help you. So what I need you to do is I want you to just focus. Know that, you know what I'm going to teach you is really we've got to change this aspect of how we think. See, wrong thinking will jack you up. Here's why. Because wrong thinking will cause you to act wrong. Yeah, right. The Bible says you're blessed in what you do. You know the Bible says that? So we've got to change how we think in this area, and it will absolutely revolutionize your life. So please pay close attention. Don't come in and out. You know what I'm talking about? Then you're like, oh, and then you're like, oh, you know, I wonder if there's any turkey left. Right? No. Don't come in and out. Just stay in. Amen? Amen? Okay, so let's put our Bible overhead. Let's say it like we mean it. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive. The infallible Word of God, having received the Word of God, I will. In 2010, I preached a sermon called Perceived Hardness. Perceived Hardness. I don't know if you were here then, praise God, you need to hear it again. Amen. If you weren't here, you need to hear this. I was praying about this, and I knew already last week, I knew exactly what I was going to preach. I knew I was going to preach it. I believe that God has got to really change our thinking in this area, and I want to talk to you about a perceived hardness. But before I talk about perceived hardness, and if you were in the first service, don't do me a favor, don't let the cat out of the bag. Just, you know what, don't tell anybody the answer. But I want you to look at a picture, and when you look at a picture, I'm going to give you a couple of options of what that is. Okay, so first let's look at the picture. And do you see that? Now, here's the question. What is that? Is that, give me a second. What is that? Is that a freaky, creeping insect? Is that a freaky, creeping insect? Is that a don't answer till I'm done. Is that a fragment of a dog's Christmas ornament? Is it a fragment of a salami? Is it a fragment of a broken shoe? Or is that a paint spot? Okay. How many think it's a freaky, creeping insect? How many think it's a fragment of a dog's Christmas ornament? Okay, that's a whole one. How many think it's a fragment of salami? Okay, that's, oh, a couple of things. How many think it's a fragment of a broken shoe? Okay, good. How many think it's a paint spot? Okay, some of you didn't even vote. But anyway, that's some point. Most of you thought it was a paint spot. Well, let me talk to you about what happened. That picture was taken last week. At 5:15 in the morning, I wake up early Sunday morning. I wake up early almost every morning, but I was up early, and I let the dogs out. That's the front, the kind of hallway of in my house. And as I'm letting the dogs out, I look down, and it's dark. That picture was light because it was so dark that it flashed, you know what I mean? But when but it was very dark. There was a couple of lights on, but mostly dark. And I looked down, and that freaked me out. I was like, oh! And so what I did was what any man who is supposed to protect the house does. I said, oh! You know, anyway. So after I said, oh! Then I snuck around like this way, and then I went into the kitchen, and I grabbed a paper towel, and then I thought, oh, you know what I mean? I was going to smash it, but that thing was freaky looking, and then I thought, oh, I'm not going to smash it, and then I looked, and then I says, oh, praise God, one of the kids left their shoe out, you know what I mean? So I took the shoe, and I snuck up behind it. You know what these insect kind of things, you know, it's like they see you right before you're going to do it, and then they jammed to some, you know what I mean? It's like, then you can't even get on like a crevice or, you know, something, you know what I mean? And, but I snuck up behind it. Okay. And then you're like, this happens all the time, you know what I mean? I'll go to do it and then that, you know what I mean? But this time I was like behind it. You can't see me. Boom! And what I did was I just smashed a fragment of a dog's Christmas ornament. Show them. So let me show you. Just show the little ball first. Yeah. Okay. And what's that connected to? That was connected to this. Now you got the picture writer now? Okay. So my wife and her mom, we call her granny. I don't know what they're thinking, you know what I mean? Oh, look, there's my beautiful feet. You see that? Hey, no, those are beautiful. Why? That's what the Bible says. Hey, somebody say amen to this. Does the Bible say? The feet that bring good news? Well, those are the feet that are bringing the good news today. Anyway, it's not my point. My point is, you got the picture writer? So that's our newest addition to the family. It's like not like we need another dog, but we got another dog. You know what I mean? I'm driving about 4 months ago. And Tammy's like, guess what? I'm like thinking, oh, it's going to be good. What? She's like, oh, we're going to get another dog. I'm like, honey, you've lost it completely. Anyway, Ryder's really cool. But for whatever reason, I don't know why I tried to talk him out of it. My wife and Granny, They put these dorky things on the dogs, amen? It's like so sad. I'm like, why do you humiliate these dogs? It's like, don't do that. And Ryder is funny, but smart sometimes. Sometimes not so smart, but that's not the point. The point is that Ryder figured out how to take this thing off. But when he's figuring out how to take the thing off, a piece of the yarn set me up. And I killed a piece of yarn. Now, you say, Pastor, what does that have anything to do with anything? I know you're not preaching about a piece of yarn. No, obviously I'm not. But what I want to talk to you today is about perceived hardness. Perceived hardness. Because something doesn't have to be real to cause you to act on what you perceive as real. I'm going to say that again. I want you to catch this. Something doesn't have to be real for you to act on what you perceive to be real. How many know if you would have been filming me, you really would have saw me with the shoe. It was freaky. Go back to the piece of yarn. It was freaky because when I opened up the door, piece of yarn really light. You know what I mean? That piece of yarn really light. And so when I opened up the door, the little, like, these little ends started to move, you know what I mean? I'm like, that's not an insect. That's a creepy freaking insect. It's freaky. What's my point? My point is, what I want to teach you today is there's a perception of hardness, listen to me, that is not biblically true. It's in your mind. Most Christians think the Christian life is a hard life. And I don't want to just teach this. I want to show you in the Word of God a lot. And I'm not going to take a long time, but I'm going to take a little time, but not a long time. But I'm going to show you a lot of passages that will tell you that the Christian life is the best life. See, and we have just got inundated by the lies of the enemy. Why would he tell you this lie? Why does he spend so much time in trying to get you to think that the Christian life is the hard life? And listen to me. Can we take off the mask for a little bit? Can we take off the mask for 20 minutes? Here's why I'm saying. Because we know, nobody would verbalize and come up and say, you know what, I've got a testimony. I think the Christian life is a hard life. Nobody would testify that. Why? Because we know better than saying that. We know that that is not politically correct in the Christian circles. We know, we'd never say that. But listen to me, in the back of our minds, many of us think that very thing. And listen, do me a favor. Before you say, not me. Do me a favor. Just allow yourself to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. You know, the Bible says, we have a lot of teachers, a lot of Christian radio stations, a lot of Christian pastors on TV, a lot of teachers, buy a lot of Christian books, but we don't have many spiritual fathers. What's the difference? The difference is when you have a spiritual father, you know what? There's a intuitiveness that God has given him and spiritual mother that can really minister to you at a level that is supernatural. Has anybody ever come in here and felt like I read their mail? Come on, raise your hand. Come on, be on. If you're, Pastor, are you, you know, I had one, this true story. One time we managed apartments, and I was doing my fixes. I had Monday was fix it day, and I had my cart, and I had my tools, and I was walking down the way, and we had a guy in the apartments, and he was coming to our church, and he saw me. He said, Pastor Drew, stop. You gotta fix it. You know what I mean? He's like, no, you gotta talk to my wife. Oh, brother. He's like, come here. I'm like, what? So he says, sit down right here. So I sit down, and he says, tell her. I'm like, tell her. I'm like, tell her what? He says, tell her that I don't talk to you the week before and tell you what's going on in her life so you can preach and correct her. This guy was a friend of mine, and she thought that, you know what, he'd go to me and just say, hey, can you, you know, my wife needs to work on this and this, and can you put weave that in your sermon somewhere? And I said, listen, your husband doesn't tell me anything, hasn't ever told me anything. I'll, you know what I mean, whatever. See, he says, see, I told you I never say anything. How many ever felt that way? Here's why. Because there's a spiritual father that's speaking to you. And what I want is many times we can so quickly say, no, that doesn't apply to me. And we don't allow the Holy Spirit to say, no, this does apply to you. Does that make sense? Think about it for a minute. Let me tell you first this. Satan absolutely hates you. Why does he hate you? Well, let me give you a little history of what happened to him. He's an angel, a glorious angel. There are people who, for a couple sensical reasons, we can't prove it, but it does make sense, that some people think that Satan was, what was Satan's name when he was in heaven? Lucifer. was the angel who was directing worship. And there's some reasons why we believe that. We can't actually prove it, but there's some reasons why we believe that. But he thought he was going to be like God. Before you go, that's what we think sometimes. Listen to me. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but listen to me. When you make decisions in your own life, you think you're like God. You think you're, and that's what he said. I'm like you. I'm as big as you. I'm as smart as you. No, you're not. And we think like there was this big wrestling match. There was no big wrestling match. There was like, no, you're not. Boom. Bible says, you know what? That he fell like lightning. Boom. It was done. Amen. Now you and I are born, the Bible says, in the likeness of God. Amen. You, listen, you're not like any, you're not like, you know, read it in Genesis. It talks about, the birds and the fish and the animals and the creepy bugs that, you know, aren't really there, but anyway, but they are there. But he talks about all this stuff. But then when it comes to man, you can tell there's this different thing when he created man. He created man in the likeness of God. And because of that, you know what? Satan absolutely hates you. And God, who absolutely loves you, and listen to me, and is going to tell you things that will benefit you. He's going to give you instruction to help you. Because of that, Satan wants to tell you the direct opposite. Guys in the back, do you have the clip, the plane clip? Watch this.
Flight 152 left the Indonesian capital of Jakarta nearly 90 minutes ago, headed northwest. It's expected to arrive at its destination in about half an hour. Sent a thick blanket of smoke across all of Southeast Asia.
Indonesia 152, turn right heading 046. Turn right heading 046, Indonesia 152.
Any second now, the controller expects to see flight 152 turn on the final approach. The Airbus has somehow become dangerously close to the ground.
Come on! Climb! Climb! Climb!
Turn right, 046. The one who can see most clearly what's going on gives the pilot that coordinates. And because that pilot doesn't follow that instruction, you saw what happened. So, Pastor, I would never do that. Okay. You say, well, why didn't he follow the instruction? I don't know. But something in his mind overrode what that instructor was telling him, that controller was telling him, and because of that, not only he died, all those people in the plane died. What am I saying to you? I want to teach you today about a perceived hardness. There's a, not a hardness, because let me tell you what. Jesus says, you know what, learn of me, I'm gentle. And he says this, that his, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. His yoke is, say it with me, easy. and his burden is light. You know, I listen to Christians all the time, and they talk about 180 opposite. They talk about the hardness and the difficulty of being obedient to God. Here's the thing. Listen to me. The Bible teaches 180 degrees opposite. I'm going to show you, and I won't take a long time, but I'm going to show you scripture after scripture after scripture that God says just the opposite. That here, let me give you one. If we're willing and obedient, listen, the Bible says if we're willing and obedient, Isaiah says this, we will eat the fat of the land. How many know when God says you can eat the fat of the land, that is a blessed life? See, it's so interesting to me because there's been a lot of teaching on the blessings of God. And I'm not saying that some people can get, can emphasize something too much and it becomes a distortion of what the Bible teaches. But let me tell you what the Bible teaches clearly. The Bible clearly teaches that God's life and doing what he instructs is the best quality of life that you will ever experience on this earth. Amen. And that after, you know what, we'll have rewards in heaven forever and ever and ever. That you can't even imagine how awesome, you know, heaven's going to be. But let me say this. We need to start to recognize that there needs to be a change in how we think. Because I'm talking about Christian people. I listen to pastors all the time complain about how hard their life is. Listen to me. I listen to pastors complain all the time about how hard their life is. And I recognize, oh, my goodness, you know what? You're not speaking the truth. Because let me tell you, you want to live a hard life? You want to live a hard life? Here, listen to me. You want to live a hard life? Listen to what God says and don't do it. Amen? Amen? How many know what I'm talking about? It's true. And we need to be careful that we don't become complacent and start enjoying, start to get a wrong perspective. And then God asks you to do this, oh, it's so hard. No. Let me tell you what's going to be hard. What's going to be hard is if you hear God and don't do what he tells you to do. That is hard. Amen? I said that is hard. I want to show you in some passages, you know what, clearly, what the Word of God says. But first I want to say this. Why do so many Christians think that the God life, I call it the God life, is a hard life? Well, here's why. Because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See, here's what the Bible says. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Amen? So let me confuse people. How did Eve, you know, what do you think? Eve woke up that one day. She's like, oh, I'm going to die today. I feel like dying today. I feel like getting kicked out of the garden. You know what I mean? No. Eve was deceived. Somebody say, Eve was deceived. Eve was deceived, and she was deceived because she started to question the goodness of God. You know, can we go deeper here? Can we talk about the fundament? What is the fundamental? Why don't we put our trust in God? Here's why. Can I tell you why? Because ultimately, when it comes down to it, when you get out of the fluff, ultimately, here's what we believe. We are smarter than God. Isn't that what it is? Thank you, Candace. We think we know more than God knows. And so we start to question the goodness. It's that. And number two, we start to question the goodness of God. We start to go, when it comes down to it, I'm really not sure that God really wants the best for me. You know what the Bible says? Pride comes before the fall. Can I tell you what? And we have so many Christians who are walking around, they think, oh, my love, this whole Christian life is so hard, it's so hard, it's so hard. No. Let me tell you what's hard. Let me be a proclaimer of the truth today. Let me tell you what's hard. What's hard is to not do what God says. You want to live a hard life? That's a hard life. Amen? What's Satan's end game? What is he trying to do? Why is he lying to you? The Bible says he is the father of lies. What is he trying to do? Here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get you. Listen, here's what the Bible says. You're blessed in what you do. So what Satan wants to do, angel, let me tell you what Satan wants to make sure you don't do. He wants to make sure you're not obedient to God. Because he only comes, John 10:10, he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm talking to angel, but I'm talking to you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He hates you because you're born in the image of God. But he can't force you to do anything. He can't force you to raise your hands. You know what I mean? He can't. Remember that song? I'm your puppet. Do-do-do-do. You put me on a string, I'll say anything. Okay, anyway. He can't do anything that you don't. All he can do is get you to think wrongly. If he can get you to think wrongly, then you will act wrongly. You're blessed in what you do, but you're also cursed in what you do. Does that make sense? So he comes and he hates Angel. He not only hates Angel, he hates all the people around Angel. Why? Because Angel is blessed to be a blessing to all kinds of other people. Is this making any sense? And so he hates everybody. So he hates Angel. He wants to get him to make foolish choices. So he tries to convince Angel that piece of yarn is a creepy, freaky, creeping bug. That's what he tries to do. And he's got so many Christians believing that God doesn't have the best intent for their life. Now, we don't confess that with our mouth. But how many know actions are louder than words? So when God says, and we're going to go over three at the end, when God says, be generous, and we think, oh, we can't be generous, okay? You can. When God says to forgive, we think, oh, you don't know what he did to me. No, no, no. You don't know what Satan is doing to you. Because in your willingness to not let go of that bitterness, you are poisoning yourself. With that willingness, hey, can I be honest with somebody today? With that willingness, I'm not let go. You know, Pastor, don't ever talk about money. Pastor shouldn't talk about money. Well, thank God we don't listen to you. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Amen. Because I don't know about you, but you know what? We need to talk about money. We need to talk about the, you know what, the hundreds and thousands of Christians that are coming in churches and doing no funding for the kingdom of God. If we don't believe it, who's gonna? The non-Christians are gonna fund the kingdom? No, we are the ones who gotta fund the kingdom. Amen. And listen to me. And your way out of your financial mess, you know what, is to be obedient to what God tells you to do. Amen. Amen. See, God is not against you. God is for you. But angel, if you will not do what God tells you to do, you tie his hands. And if you perceive that what God is telling you to do is hard, then you're really questioning the goodness of God. Hello. You're really questioning the goodness of God. And that questioning will, that perception of hardness, not hard, but that perception of hardness will cause you not to be obedient, and you will reap what you sow. In the positive or in the negative. Amen? Well, I just thought, I know, that's the problem. Amen? And so wherever the area is, whether it's finances or whether it's, you know what, Christian people ought to be selfless. Amen? We ought to be generous. Here, allow me to say it again. I'll give you a chance to say amen. Christian people ought to be generous. Amen? Particularly to funding the kingdom of God. Amen. Listen, I can do a lot of things with my finances. But it's, you know what? But what can I do with my finances to help people's lives being changed? I could fund the gospel. Amen. And although I'm responsible to do a lot of things, I'm definitely responsible to do it in my house. Amen. I'm getting ahead of myself, but are you learning something? See, what does God say? God says, you know what? You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Look at what Jesus says. But I say to you, love your enemy and hate those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, but Pastor, that is so hard. Now let me tell you what's hard. What's hard is for you to keep on regurgitating the same video that you've regurgitated, you know what, 58 times of in 1978 when that person hurt you. What's hard is for you to keep on carrying that burden of that hurt and that pain, and you've been carrying it a long, 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 long time. That's what's hard. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is trying to deliver you. Jesus is coming with good news. This is not hard. It's perceived hard because you've allowed Satan to come in and make it seem like, ooh, that's a bug. It's not a bug. It's a piece of yarn. Amen? This is not hard. What's hard is for you to keep a hold of that grudge, for you to keep on going over how they hurt you, they hurt you, they hurt you, they hurt you. That's hard. Amen? And I'm going to use the word of God, and we're going to get that junk out of your heart. Amen. That wrong thinking, that stingy thinking, that self-centeredness, amen? That thinking, oh, I don't got time to pray, I don't got time to read my Bible. Are you kidding me? I'm getting ahead of myself. How many are so glad you came today? What does God say? Who is God? Who is God? Who is God? Let me tell you who God is. Psalm 72:18. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. That's who our God is. He only does wondrous things. He loves you. He loves you so much he sent his son for you. He has withheld nothing from you. You have no logical reason to believe that God doesn't have your best interest at heart. No logical. Listen, you can hit the yarn if you want, but you have no, turn on the light and you'll recognize this is yarn from a dog's ornament. Are you learning something today? Let's look at some passages. Let's see the character of God. Let's see what God intends for us to live. Listen, I'll go over these scriptures quickly. I've got about five. Took me about 3 minutes to come up with these five. I could come up, you know what, with 35, 55, 85, 185. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All you're going to find in the pages of God is, be obedient. God loves you. Be obedient. Do what he says, and you're going to eat the fat of the land. That's all you're going to find. There's this pushback in the body of Christ. You know, there's been a lot of teaching on the goodness of God, the goodness of God, the goodness of God. And then a bunch of people say, that's overboard. Wait, that's overboard. Well, it's not overboard because it's throughout the Bible, amen? It's every page in the Bible. Why? Because it is who God is. Look at this. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. I love this passage. What's God saying? God's saying, hey, stop telling me how I think about you. Amen? God's saying, stop telling me what I think about you. Stop thinking you know. Let me tell you what I think about you. Well, let's see what he thinks. Says the Lord. Here's what kind of thoughts he has about you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. God's of peace, not of evil. Stop thinking that God is sinister and the reason why he wants you to break up with your ungodly girlfriend or boyfriend is because he doesn't want you to ever get married. Oh, I didn't hear all the amens on that one. But you know what? I love him. Well, you do whatever you want to do. You can marry that guy if you want. But God isn't trying to keep you from being married. He just wants to keep you from being miserable. Amen? You know, that guy, oh, man, pastor, he's got a good job. He's got a full head of hair. You know, he's got a car with spinners. You know what I mean? You know, don't tell me he doesn't love God. He asked if we went to McDonald's the other day, and he asked if I could pray before we ate. Oh. How many know you can make a square peg, you know, in a round hole? You could do gymnastics in your mind to find good aspects that cause him to think that you think that he's gonna. But listen, look at his life. Be honest with yourself. Amen. Look and see where you know what? Does he serve? Does he come on Sunday and Wednesday? You know, look at his checkbook registry. Yeah, here. You want to know somebody's heart? Look at their checkbook registry. Amen? People, you young kids don't. What is a checkbook registry? I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know. What a young kid? Do they get some readout, some printer readout? Look on your iPhone. Grab his iPhone. Amen? Yeah, grab his iPhone. See where his eyes have been. I'm just saying.
But you don't know his heart. You don't know his heart.
No. Listen. You don't know his heart. Because the Bible says where his treasures are, his heart will be also. You know, I could look at Paul's. You know, Paul, you know, old enough, he still writes checks. I could look at Paul's, you know what, checkbook. And I know what I'd see. I know what I'd see. I'd see plenty of giving towards the kingdom of God. I know it. Amen? Amen. I could look at Daniel's. You know,
what are you saying, Pastor?
Listen. You know, sometimes at church, we just don't want to get real. Amen? We just don't want to get real. Amen?
Well, you don't know anybody's heart.
Well, the Bible, I didn't say that. Jesus said, where your treasures are, your heart will be also. You want to act like this isn't true? This isn't reality? This is reality. Amen? But you listen, and it's perceived, it's going to be so hard. No, let me tell you what would be hard. What would be hard is you keep on dating him. You know, listen to me, somebody. And in 8 years, he still won't have put a ring on your finger. Oh, you didn't think I was going to say that, did you? No. 8 years. No. You know what? And he'll introduce you as his fiance. If I say, okay, when are you getting married? I got a song for you. Slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Sam. No need to be coy, Roy.
You're being so hard.
No. Listen to me. I'm being loving. Because we have this perception of what's hard. You know what's hard? What's hard. And I'm not saying, we'll look into it. You look at, let's just talk about the Israelites. What was God's plan for the Israelites? To bless them. To put them in houses that they'd be filled. How many like going into the fridge and you open the fridge? How many like going to the fridge today? You know what I mean? Like, I love the fridge today, man. Because you got, we got the stuffing still, we got the turkey still, we got the pumpkin pie, woo! Okay, Read it. That's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy. God wanted his people. God wanted his people to open up the fridge and to be able to have food that they didn't put in there. Amen. He said, here's what I want. I want you to be in houses filled with nice things that you didn't even have to put in there. Watch this. But in order to do that, you know what? He had a land that was already inhabited. Amen. And their perception, everybody say perceived hardness. Their perceived hardness is, no. Giants and tigers and bears, oh my. Giants and tigers and bears, oh my. What are you talking about? Giants and tigers. You think God can't take care of a giant or a tiger or a bear? You know, you need to sing giants and tigers and bears. Oh, God. Amen. I mean, really? You know what? If God is for you, who could be against you? God is trying to bless you. But angel, you've got to be obedient because you're only going to be blessed. God, listen, just like Satan can't force you, God can't force you. Oh, I'm going to force you. He won't force you. He'll just instruct you. Amen? And if your perception is that his instruction is hard, then guess what? That perception is going to cause you to go, no, I better not do it. Listen, at some point in time, that pilot didn't do what the air traffic controller told him to do. And in your life, my life, Jonathan's life, Paul's life, Carlos's life, any of our life, at some point in time, we get out of the clouds. We, at some point in time, we all recognize that God was right. Did that pilot recognize God was right? But the traffic controller, thank you. The traffic controller, did he recognize, the pilot recognize at some point he was right? When did he recognize it was right? When it was too late. Amen? Some say, oh, it's never too late. There's absolutely a too late. Oh, I never heard that. I know. How many know there's absolutely too late? How many experience, in some part of your life, how many experience some too late? Now, I'm not saying that God can't turn things around. I'm not saying that. But how many of you have experienced God speaking to you, you thought that he didn't know what he was talking about, and you didn't turn right at 046. And you were like, and later on you were like, man. You know what you said? What was I? Here's what you're thinking. You're thinking you're smarter than God. No, can we be honest with somebody? That's what we think sometimes. So the Israelites, you know what, are told, what is God's plan? Here's what God's plan is. God's plan is, I want you to be blessed with houses, nice houses, beautiful cities, digs, wells that you didn't dig, farms that you didn't plant, fields, vineyards that you didn't plant. I mean, just be blessed. Amen? Yeah. That's what God intended. But you know what they said about God? They said, God, why did you take us out to the wilderness to kill us and that our kids and our wives would go back in slavery? How many know that is a crazy thought? And every time that we think that God doesn't have the best plan for us, we think the same thing. Every time. Every time God tells you to give an amount that you don't give, you're thinking the same thing. Every time God asks you to forgive and you don't forgive, but I've forgiven him 8 times already. Well, what did Jesus say? 7 times 70, amen? You know what he's saying? He's saying, get rid of this stupid calculator. Stop it. That's not how I was with you. How many know God is not a God of two chances? How many know God is not a God of two chances? Oh, there's God of second chance. No, he's not. Look at your life. He's a God of like 158,000 chances. Amen? 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 So why, you know, you don't want God to have the calculator. All of a sudden you get the calculator. I forgave him 8 times already. Well, put the calculator away. Put that in your purse and swing it. Amen? Amen? Been a while since I said that, huh? Amen. How many are learning something? You said, but Pastor, what is the hardness about? Well, there is a hardness. Here's the hardness. Just do what he tells you to do. The life isn't hard. It's the obedience that you're going to have to submit to what God says. See, if you're willing, go ahead. Do I got it up here? Oh, let me show you another one. I quoted it, but let me show it to you. See, this is so clear throughout the Word of God. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Well, I'm not sure if God wants to bless you. Well, that's you. I'm sure God wants to bless you. Why? Because it's clear. It's over and over. His plans are not of evil. They're of good, of hope. His will is that you would be willing and obedient. He wants you, if you're willing and obedient. He can't change this. The if is up to you. But God has revealed himself. I am a good God. I'm not against you. I'm for you. I will, if you will be willing and obedient, here's what you're going to do. You're going to eat the good of land. The God life is the best life. Amen. So what's the hard thing? It's perceived hard. You have this perception of, wrong. You do not know who God is. Because if you understood how God is, you'd recognize what he wants is you to eat the good of the land. Amen? Well, what's the hard part? The hard part is you've got to listen to his plan. How many ever been God told you a plan that seemed wacky to you? You're going to question the goodness of God and you're going to die in the wilderness. That's what they did. They died in the wilderness. They did it over and over and over 10 times. Finally, God said 10 times, enough! Enough. You keep on questioning my character of my goodness. And all I ever wanted for you is for you to eat the good of the land. All I ever wanted is for you to walk from slavery into a land flowing with milk and honey. What's milk and honey? Milk and honey is a word picture of a great life. You know, back then they didn't have a Ralph's. They didn't have a Superior, amen? They couldn't just go and get a carton of milk. You go to it. You ever gone to a natural food store? Are you kidding me? You know how many honeys they got in a natural food store? This honey and this honey and this honey and this honey. It was like, oh, honey, there's a lot of honeys here. That was a joke. Have you ever gone to a natural food store? Have you seen how many different honeys they got? Back then, it wasn't like that. How many know, you know what? You needed to go and find some bees and figure out how to get that honey. Amen? You know what? But God says, no, listen, there's this land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be a blessed life. You're not going to, it's going to be easy to be a farmer in this land because the ground is so fertile. That's what God wanted for these people. But they never walked in it. Why? Because they have this perceived hardness. They didn't judge God correctly. So they cursed themselves, and they wouldn't do what God asked them to do. So God says, enough. Just like he'll say to you, enough. Listen, you don't want me to be your Lord? What's Lord mean? He means the instructor to tell you what to do. You don't want me to instruct your life? God says, okay, I won't force you. What was his plan? Well, we kind of have a crystal ball because we can look, not a crystal ball in the future, but we can look in the past history, we can see what happened. They died, but God's blessing was still to the children. That's what his promise was, to bless Israel. So what did he do? He goes, you're a good Joshua in my first service. You'll be a good Joshua in my second service. What do? He goes, I'm here's the plan. And then, oh, I got the plan. You know what the plan was? plan was this. Joshua, I want you to tell the people, get up. March around Jericho. Jericho is surely shut. Big walls, completely shut. No way to defeat Jericho. But with God, all things are possible. See, stop thinking that you know all the material. I'm not going to defeat Jericho. I'm just going to go over here and set up a tent. Stop thinking. Stop thinking for yourself. Let God think for you. Let him tell you what to do. He wants to eat. He wants you to eat the fat of the land. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to just walk around the land. Just walk around Jericho. And the next day, just march around Jericho again. And the next day, march around Jericho. Do that 7 days in a row, 7 days in a row. And then the seventh day, you know what? When I tell you, shout and blow the trumpet and woo! And what's going to happen? You're going to win. Here's the hardness. Huh? That's the military solution? See, the hardness for them is your same hardness. Will you just do what God asks you to do? Will you just give what God asks you to give? So, Pastor, why do you keep on getting on the giving? Because that's the area that most of us will just not do what God asks us to do. Amen. Amen. Tamara said one time to me, she came home and she said, Drew, God told me to give. We are to give $500 to a ministry. I was like, get behind me, Satan. God didn't tell you that. Why did you do that? You know, if she would have told me, God told me to give $5, I would have been like, oh, okay. That was God. If she would have said, God told me to give $50, I'd be like, okay, that's God. But when she said, God told me to give $500, all of a sudden that wasn't God. Well, how many know I'm being sarcastic? See, what number do we come up with? See, we say crazy things. We say stuff like, I don't have time to pray. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. See, you're not going to have time to pray, but you're going to go to work and get all stressed out, and after work, go to the hospital and say, oh, I'm so stressed out. And they're going to give you a bunch of pills, and the pills are going to possibly make you suicidal. Am I lying? Is there somebody here today? I'm just listening to the commercials of the pills that are supposed to help you not get depressed. And one of the side effects is be careful because you might commit suicide. I'm sorry. Am I the only one who just goes, are you kidding me? I don't mean to make fun of the medical profession in that, you know what, they are doing some wonderful things to try to bring people peace. I understand that. What I'm saying is, you're going to tell me, I'm going to tell you the word. The word says, in the presence of God is perfect, is fullness of joy. Listen, don't take any pills. Just get up 20 minutes early and spend 20 minutes praying to God. Amen. And watch what will happen in your life. I don't know why I'm so happy now. I do. Because God instructed you. He gave you the instructions. Hey, just hang out with me. You'll get happy. Amen. All your troubles will seem to vanish. Suppose, my finances are so jacked up. My finances are so jacked up. Here's what the Bible says. If you give, does somebody want to hear the truth?
Yes, sir.
Can you handle the truth? Because here's what the Bible says. If you give sparingly, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. If you give sparingly, you will reap sparingly. See, could it be that God has the real plan for us? We just perceive that what he's telling us is too hard. And could it be that the very thing that he's telling us is the very thing that is going to put seed in the ground that is going to produce fruit in our life? Should Christians not be the most generous people on the face of this earth? So how come, according to Barna, are less than 12% of people who come to church, how come is less than 12% giving faithfully a tithe? Just a tenth. Just a tenth. Why? I tell you why. Because there's a perception that that's too much, that that's too hard. There's a perception that if I do that, I'm going to be in a worse financial situation. And what I'm telling you is what Joshua told the people when he told them the instruction. He said, here's the instruction. Go around seven times, blow the trumpets, shout. Oh, one more thing. Be quiet. You know why? Because God doesn't need your opinion to override what he told you to do. And you're going to listen to friends that are going to tell you, oh, they don't know, they don't know. All those girls, all the pastor wants, the pastor just wants your money. Oh, my goodness. God don't want your money. God wants your heart. God wants your heart. And he wants you to become somebody who's generous. He wants you to become selfless. And you can't become selfless if you're spending every dollar you make on yourself. I can't, because I got so many bills. I got so many bills. Yeah, for what? Your truck, and your car, and your house, and your phone, and your, can I keep on going? No, I can't. Yeah, listen, you do whatever you want to do, amen? You do whatever you want to do. You figured out how to, are you hearing what I'm saying? Pastor, I can't. I don't have time to read my Bible. You want me to read my Bible every day? I've got time to read my Bible every day. Okay, so we're coming in the sanctuary. It's all dark. There's a switch. There's not a switch, but I'm pretending. There's a switch right here to turn on. Tamara and I come in, and she says, honey, make sure you turn the switch on. I can't. I don't have time. You're going to look at me like, you got time. You don't have time to turn the switch on, but you got time to go like this? Ooh, there's the step. Here we go. You got time to do that? See, if I did that, you'd say, Pastor has lost it. No. Everyone who doesn't read their Bible every day, we've lost it.
Yeah, that's right. Come on, amen.
Because the Bible says it's a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. Amen?
Come on, amen.
Amen?
Amen?
See, you could, if you would just read your Bible, you would save so much time. Because you'd see things. Your marriage would get better. You'd be more generous. Boom, you start giving more. You got seed in the ground. What kind of farmer is going to, you're like, you're playing, oh, I don't understand. My crop is so small. My crop is so small. Then why in the world do you plant three seeds? See, how many know if you want a bigger crop, the plan, sow more seed. Listen. We have a perceived hardness in our lives. We think God is really against us. Paul says, no. God is for you. Every time he tells you what to do, he is always for you. But Angel, you know, I'm talking to Angel, but I'm talking to you. I don't have time to go, you know, Carol, Jonathan, but, you know, I don't have time to do that. So I'm just using Angel. But Angel, you can do whatever you want. I'm telling you, God is for you. And he's got plans for you, and they're good plans. But once the plans are made, just like that illustration, that traffic controller will not turn the plane. He's coveted. I won't control your life. I'll let you control your life. But if you'll be willing and obedient to do what I tell you to do, you will eat the fat of the land. Did you hear me, Angel? Who was I talking to? Did you hear me, Angel? Could it be that the pastor, your spiritual father, knows what's going on, and he just loves you so much that he has this message for you to hear today? Because he wants you to understand. He's smart. So put your trust in him. Angel.
I wonder why we don't do the simple things that God asks us to do. It's really the Word of God, and God's relationship with us is very simplistic, that he'll give us direction, and he just wants us to obey him. Just do what he asks us to do. Pastor said in the first service, one of the reasons why we don't do what he's asking us to do is we really don't believe that he knows best, or that he has our interest, our best interest. Because we don't understand it, we would never say, God, we know better, but we say it all the time when we do the opposite of what he asks us to do, or we just don't do what he asks us to do. If we understood the goodness of God, I think that our lives would be so much better if all we did, there's a scripture in Thessalonians that I want to read to you, if all we did was begin to walk in just this one truth of scripture, we could absolutely change how we think in our life. Because, how did I get all crazy? Thank you. 1 Thessalonians. Will you guys throw it up for them? It's 1 Thessalonians 5? 18. 16 through 18, I think it was. Was it not, Tony? Thank you. And it talks to us about being a grateful people. And that we would daily thank God and have gratitude. Have you ever talked to somebody and you're talking to them about meditating on that which is good, or to just to be grateful? Gosh, you have so much. I don't have anything. I don't have anything to be grateful for. And yet, things like our health, we take for granted so much that we have. Family members that we have. There's so many things that we just aren't, we don't even see them as blessings in our life. We're so used to having them that we are not grateful for them. We don't have the gratitude that we should for all that we have. You should be able to, if you could just start a habit that figure out what works for you. Every time I get in my car, I'm going to begin to thank God. And then what are you thankful for? Or every time I finish brushing my teeth, I'm going to thank God. Because it's kind of embarrassing, but sometimes, have you ever God, thank you for this, thank you for that, but, and then you're kind of and you don't know what else to say. But we have so much to be thankful, and that needs to be at the forefront of our mind. That we would just be a grateful, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in everything that you do. If we can see a glass half empty or half full, have you been around people that just, they have something, but they don't even know they have something. You know what? They have much to be grateful for, but they don't see it. They're too busy looking at the half empty. They're too busy looking at the not the have, but the have not. And that messes you up. That's totally opposite of what God asked us to do. He asked us to meditate on that which is good. He asked us to take thoughts captive when we have thoughts. He asked us to give thanks in everything. That's the will of God. And I believe if we would begin to have a lot more gratitude in our life, if we would begin to start to look at all that we have to be thankful for. Even if you're in a place where you're like, I don't even know what to be thankful for. Well, think for a minute. Think for 10 minutes if that's what it takes. Find something to be grateful for. And thank God for that. Just our weather alone in Southern California. Just the weather alone. I remember getting snowed in all the time. I remember, you know what, we had to like hurry and get home because the snow was falling so fast. And at my parents' place, you couldn't even open the door. The snow was just piling up. And you're going to get stuck in there. Going out and scraping the windshield and, I don't know, we had to spray some junk. You know, you had to go outside and start your car 10 minutes before you were trying to go anywhere. Because if you didn't, you weren't going nowhere. Because you had to open up the hood. Think about just the daily grind of going to work. You got to go outside. You got to scrape all the ice and the snow. Then you got to get a can. They called it heat. I don't have any idea what it was. I just knew the drama of it all. Then you had to go outside and open up the hood and spray some heat on the carburetor. Then you had to try and start the car. Then you had to make sure that car, you know, boom, 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 get it going, right? And then you got to let it warm up for at least 10 minutes because it's so dang cold. So that you can actually get out there and get in the car and go somewhere when it's time for you to get to work. Who wants to do that? See, we all got something to be thankful for, amen? You know what? People will start to wrap their pipes. The water pipes break. They burst and break because it's so cold. It's a whole nother world out there. We have much to be thankful for, amen? We just need to, if you hear someone, if you can't think, you ought to be able to just have a practice of, man, I'm thankful for, you know what, Pastor George and Lydia, God, I'm thankful for this property. Thank you that you've given us a property. You know, we have many churches here that it's a blessing to them to be able to share the facility with us. And we bless them in sharing the facility with them. And oh, how they would love to have a property of their own. They're praying, believing that they'll have a property one day. We're so blessed in what we have. So blessed in what we have. And we just need to be a grateful people. If we'll start being grateful, we'll start to understand what a good God God is. And maybe then when we see that he asks us to do something, in understanding how good he is, we'll just do what he's asking us to do. Because we know what a good God he is. Amen? You guys think you can do that? Just leave here and just start the habit of, make it a habit. That's why I said, if it's in your car, or if it's before you brush your teeth, or as you're going to the kitchen to get your coffee, you know what, begin, make it a habit that's when you're going to just begin to just thank God for stuff. You know what, and start to take account to all that you have to be thankful for. Amen? Yeah.